Brett Baer, our old friend. He's not really that old. He's younger than I am. SOB. Is standing by on the Super Celebrity Hotline.
Hey, Brett.
Good afternoon.
Now, Brett, I just want to ask you a question. I want to posit this theory and then have you react to it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like between these two, and you know who I'm talking about, these two, one tries to do the right thing, and then the other one's always doing the wrong thing, and then it flips. Right? It's like no one can neither of these candidates have had one straight week where they've both been good. And it seems like Trump has turned the ship around a little bit here. Yesterday, I could not believe the amount of discretion he used and calm and what I thought was very, very polite discussion about Hillary Clinton's medical thing, which is not known for polite.
No, he didn't take it as an opportunity, for sure.
Right. And is this one of those cases where he was told by his people, hey, when someone's committing suicide, don't help them?
Yeah, I think so. And it's also dealing with health. So, when he was asked about it this morning, he said, I hope she does better. I hope she feels better. And I'm looking forward to seeing her at the debate. And quickly moved on. That said, he did say, this has been going on for a while, and we have to see what the deal is. I think he said he took a physical, and he's going to release detailed medical records on, of all places, Dr. Oz's show on Thursday.
Oh, God.
And then we heard from Hillary Clinton's people that she's going to put out detailed medical records, or more detailed, in coming days, too.
So she should go on Judge Mathis to do that.
Perfect
forum. Yeah, that was just for no good reason. Just do another TV talk show.
Well, she was supposed to be on Ellen this week, but that's part of what's canceled. It's part of her West Coast plans, taking mm-hmm. a couple of days. Is she taking a full couple of days, Brett, off?
She's going to call in, I think, to a San Francisco fundraiser tonight because the money's got to keep flowing, I suppose. But, she's not traveling, so she's fully off the trail for a couple of days. Mm-hmm.
There was also some talk about Secret Service protocols yesterday and how they might have been dinged up a little bit in terms of getting evacuating her out of the area.
I think, the Secret Service pushed back kind of hard on that. They said they were just getting her to the van as quickly as they could. I don't know what the health situation is going to be. The campaign says it's just pneumonia. But more at issue is how the campaign dealt with it. At first saying there's no problem, then she was overheated, then she had pneumonia that was diagnosed Friday, and reporters who were covering her were in the dark, didn't even know where she was for 90 minutes.
Well, now, I want to stop on that for a second, because that seems, I've heard a lot of criticism of that, too, that the reporter, she left the reporters behind. And she set herself up for this criticism, because she famously had left reporters on the sideline all summer long. She just last week agreed to get on the plane with them, which mm-hmm. it was not... Which is protocol is that they fly with you, they travel with you, and that builds a sense that they're there. She has different protocols and more secretive protocols, and even no less a high ranking Democrat than David Axelrod has been critical of this, saying that this just is another indication of the kind of including about her leaving the press behind yesterday, that it's just another sign of that they're overly secretive in the Clinton camp. They always have been.
Yeah, and I think that is a major point. When you have David Axelrod, one of the premier, as you well know, Democratic strategists, saying you can treat pneumonia with antibiotics, but you can't, essentially paraphrasing here, you can't treat a campaign that acts the wrong way and suggests that there's there when there's not there. He said, it's really kind of fumbling about how they've handled this, how they've handled the rollout of the emails, how they've handled a lot of things in dealing with the press.
And then she has this issue of using the basket of deplorables. I want to ask you about the fallout from that, because it certainly gave Trump almost, it gives him a lot of material. They've already got ads running in swing states based around her saying that. It used to be that the Clinton campaign could point at him and say, well, he's the loose cannon. He's the one who says these are terribly offensive things. And this just gave him some fodder, I think.
Well, that's right. And I think if you look at the past couple of days, it has been... kind of, you know, a good couple of days for Donald Trump because of the stumble rhetorically Friday on the basket of deplorables. That gave him and his campaign ammunition. They've already turned around an ad that's running in Ohio and Pennsylvania, Florida, and I think Michigan that deals with exactly that. You know, I think more importantly, though, is the fact that this race is tight in the battleground states, and it's going to be that first debate that really changes, you know, the dynamics.
It's interesting how these guys define each other, right? I mean, this is true in all of politics, right? The opponents mm-hmm. define each other, and they make these very stark contrasts and characterizations and caricatures of their opponents. And that you hope that the opponent falls into it, that their proclivities fall inside the caricature. Mm-hmm. And both have. I mean, Trump came pre-caricatured, right? I mean, they both did to some degree. But we saw Hillary Clinton as, you know, she is not quite the entertainment figure. Well, not ever the entertainment figure that Donald Trump was. So he's got a big caricature box to fill, and he fills it, and he does it, you know, much in his self-inflicted wounds and all that. But now she seems to be picking up on that, and it does seem to me to come down to discipline within the campaign. And what does this speak of? What are we learning about the lack of discipline here? We know it's legendary in the Trump campaign, mm-hmm. but why now all of a sudden sort of this lack of attention to message here with Hillary?
Well, I think, you know, I think that they're always in the mode of privacy for Hillary Clinton. That is their kind of mindset. And it has always been since the beginning of the campaign. She's started to talk to reporters a little bit more, as you saw the gaggles on the plane and a couple of, you know, quick press conferences, three or four questions. I think that when it comes to health, they are really protective, and that raises questions with reporters who at first characterized it as conspiracy theories and now think the health issue is a big issue in the campaign.
Okay, no moderator for the debates. That's what Trump wants.
Yeah.
Says he wants.
What are the
happen.
Chances of
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Won't happen.
Lester Holt is slated to be moderating this one. Is it a specific instance, a problem he has with Lester, or just generally? And you've been a moderator for major debates like this.
Oh, I think maybe the most famous debate in primary history, as it turns
but
out.
Like, what kind of jockeying is there behind the scenes with candidates in their camps trying to, you know, set rules for debates, et cetera, like that?
Well, I think that they all had to semi-sign off on what the debate commission came up with. You know, if they had problems, I think privately they raised red flags. So the fact that these moderators have been chosen by the bipartisan debate commission, it's a done deal. I mean, there's not going to be a major change. Chris Wallace is going to be the last one. Anderson Cooper and Martha Raddatz will do the town hall kind of meeting. And then Lester Holt does the first one 2 weeks from tonight. Elaine Quijano with CBS does the vice president. Mm-hmm. And it's set. And any talk about changing the system or the moderators or anything like that, they already signed on to the system. So this is kind of just fodder to talk about the debates.
Yeah, well, let me just say that that's, like you said, not going to happen. But I'm sure there are a few times now when you write the book, Brett, another book. Let's put it that way. When you write your final sort of "This was my life" and this is it kind of book. You got to give that one at least a chapter right there. You got to give that debate that you had in August for Fox's channel with the Republicans was
26 million people. It was the largest cable event, non-sports cable event in history.
Gee.
Think about that.
Think about it.
All right. Well, all I can say here, Brett, is wow, this just got it. Every week, it's like, oh, this couldn't get any weirder. It got weirder. It got weirder.
Here's the weirdest thing very quickly.
Yeah.
Is you had Cokie Roberts on NPR today saying that there are Democratic whispers that they want to get her out and put somebody else in.
What?
Oh, I don't doubt that.
This is Cokie Roberts. This isn't like Ann Coulter on Breitbart. This isn't somebody on the right. This is Cokie Roberts on NPR saying that. And I think that's far-fetched, too, but the fact that they're saying it is always interesting.
It is.
Well, this has kind of whipped its way around here. about what happens in a succession situation. They've been talking about that for a while. And I guess, you know, when you have that stumble, when you see the stumble on the video that was posted to Twitter yesterday of her, they're trying to rush her into the van. I mean, you know, that's the kind of thing that can, around which campaigns have historically turned, right? Whether it was the Michael Dukakis helmet picture or...
Yeah, it's an image, yeah.
Yeah,
the
single visuals that can make all the difference in the world. And then you combine that with, you know, her having that Mitt Romney 47% of, you know, kind of event, or Barack Obama talking about, you know, people clinging to guns and religion, all that. Although, now, Barack Obama won that, but Mitt Romney lost it, and a lot of people point to that 47% moment as it.
Well, you know what? Barack Obama lost in that primary because he said it right around Pennsylvania.
Right.
And he lost to Hillary Clinton in Pennsylvania.
Right. So there you go. That's
it's fascinating. I mean, you're right. It's images, and it makes a difference. It's like indelible in people's mind. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much this is going to imprint. I think the debate will change what people are focusing on, but we'll see.
Yeah. All right, Brett, thank you.
Thank you,
Brett. You didn't help me at all today. Appreciate it.
I don't know if there is help today.
There's no help for me. Thanks, Brett. See you tonight, 5 o'clock on Fox News Channel. Special report with Brett Baer. We always say you could DVR it. Better way to go. All right, coming up, we've got, what do we have coming up? We have...
a lot of stuff coming up. We've got, we're going to talk Bears.
Oh, that's right. Ah!
I second that.
Violetta?
Do you have the WGN? They did okay.
What?
I mean, better than you thought, right?
In the beginning.